remember Pastor Julian from last June. His wife is from Azerbaijan, which John was talking about. In 2011, they arrested people or closed down the Baptist church for praying when they weren't registered. And anyway, interesting testimony about that. Our church went in there, and a really neat guy was he was in a church in India, and they came and they kicked him out of there. He said it was the most demonic thing he'd ever seen. They got him around a table, and they were banging on the table and yelling at him and saying, "You're not a student. We've been following you. You're not going to class. You're passing out these pamphlets, and you're talking to people, and we've seen you with this lady who also does that." And anyway, they kicked him out of the country, and his plane landed in Bangalore on his way out, and God told him he was going to plant a church there. So he was gone for 3 years, and he went back to Bangalore, and we have a wonderful church in Bangalore. But guess where he went? He went to Azerbaijan. And they had a Bible college there for 3 years, and they had just ordained their first pastor, and they kicked all the foreign missionaries out of the country. Like, God took him and put him there just for that time. And so Pastor Fawad was there. He had a neat little mini testimony, I call it. Like, he said he was talking to a Muslim guy, and he's like, "You're a pastor? You can't be a... Your name's Fawad. That's a Muslim name. You can't be a pastor." He said, "I am, and this is my assistant, Pastor Muhammad." So, anyway, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for today. And we just praise your holy name. Speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So the prophecies, you know, a lot of them we just take for granted. You know, like we think we know them. We know this one, right? "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." I like the spelling with the E that's in the songs. That's how it was in my head. But in my Bible, it was with an I, so I spelled it with an I. But Emmanuel, God with us. And so this is Matthew 1:18-25. "Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit." Oh, there it is. "The virgin shall conceive. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But he thought," rationally, he was thinking about these things. While he thought about these things, "Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus," which means Savior. "For he will save his people from their sins." You don't hear a lot about that during Christmas, do you? Sins. Sin, that word, sin. Anyway. "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated, 'God with us.'" You know, we're singing that song about Emmanuel, God with us. "Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." But they also call his name Emmanuel, it says. Emmanuel. And he is with us through thick and through thin. That is his name. He is with us. And he will always be with us. He will always be Emmanuel. He will never leave us or forsake us. So just focus on the part, he will never leave us. He is with us, and he will never leave us. That's an amazing thing. Hebrews 3:5-6, "For he himself has said, 'I will never leave you. I will never leave you, nor forsake you.'" And that's a quote from Deuteronomy 31:6. So we may boldly say, this is the rest of the verse. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? And so let's look at Deuteronomy 31, 6 or 7 and 8, starting with 6. Be strong and of good courage. This is Moses to the people. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has shown to, shown to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will be with you. And so be strong and of good courage, for the Lord is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. And this is a little later in that chapter. This is says talking about, then he inaugurated Joshua. In my, I'm reading another version. That's New King James. In my Christian Standard Version, I think it's called. It says, the Lord commissioned Joshua. Or you could say he ordained Joshua. He ordained Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, in doing that, he said, be strong and of good courage, for you shall bring the children of Israel into the land of which I swore to them, and I will be with you. So battles are coming. Battles are coming for Joshua. Battles are coming for us. And we need to mix this message with faith. Like, be strong. It means courageous or strong, but courageous. And of good courage means alert. Like, be strong and alert. Be courageous and alert. Pay attention, but don't be afraid. And how can I be strong? How can I, weak little me, be strong? Emmanuel, I will be with you. So if you haven't used this message in your life in the past, you probably need it right now. And if you don't need it now, you're going to need it. Because we're in battles, right? God's won the war, but we're in battles. And so turn to your neighbor and say, mix the word with faith. Be strong and courageous. His name is Emmanuel. Turn to your neighbor and say, pay attention. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need this or you're going to need this. Okay, he's with Joshua in the conquest, and he's with us, Emmanuel. God is with us. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Like, if God can fight, you know, if you're a little kid and you go up and somebody wants to beat you up and they're 2 years older than you, you could be very afraid. But now you're a little kid and the grand master of mixed martial arts is with you, and this bigger kid wants to do something to you, and he's like, don't worry, I'm with you. Like, you don't need to be afraid. Don't be afraid. And it's like, that's just a little example. You know, it's much bigger than that. So is God with you? How do you react when God is with you? With courage. He said, have courage. And what can man do to me? That was the second part of that Hebrews 13. 7 and 8. What can man do to me? Quoting Psalm 118:6, but what can man do to us? Kill us? We're going to heaven, right? Give us something temporary? We have something eternal. Well, what can Satan do to me? On the one hand, a lot of times, like if we open the door with unforgiveness, bitterness, things like that, Satan can bring in a lot of attacks, right? He can oppress us and torment us. Or like Job, he can attack us because the angels are watching, the angelic conflict, and there's just something going on there. He can. And like Peter, he can sift me as wheat if Jesus doesn't pray for me. Right? So as the body of Christ, we need to pray for our Peters. Peters who are being tested and tempted, we need to pray for people so that Satan doesn't sift them, right? But on the other hand, he can't touch us. He can't touch us. For you died and your life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians 3:3. He can't touch us. I've been redeemed, bought by the blood. He lives, the Holy Spirit lives inside of me, Emmanuel. And like Satan can oppress Christians, but he can never possess Christians. And any time we cry out to the Lord, it's like we realize like that poem with the sand, you know, the footprint. Like he's with us the whole time. We just didn't realize it. And this is a little something from Romans. I love this part of Romans 8, especially 8:38. But what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, that's a rhetorical question, right? Because the answer is nobody. If God is for us, there's nobody that can be against us. And it's kind of like God is for us, right? And he who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Another question you know the answer to. You should. Nobody. Nobody can touch you or accuse you. Satan's the accuser of the brethren, right? But we have the world, the flesh, and the devil. We have our own flesh that will accuse us. But nobody can bring a charge against God's elect. Nobody. It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? Nobody. It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nobody. Shall tribulation, shall distress, anybody been in distress ever? Nobody's ever been in distress. Any distressed people here? Anybody been distressed? Anybody might be distressed in the future, but it won't separate you from the love of Christ. Tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness. I was thinking about the Laodicean church with that one. Or peril or sword. Like nobody, nothing. Like a sword, that's an attacking weapon, right? So like sharp words coming at you and not the word of God, right? Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. It's like Christ. God loved Christ. And there was still a cross in his life. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. There's a song that says, we are more than conquerors. We stand in complete victory. And I don't know the rest of it, but that's an awesome thought that we're in victory. He always causes us to triumph. Always, right? We are more than conquerors. Not just conquerors. We don't just win. We like more than win. Is that even possible? It is, because the Bible says we're more than conquerors. Because not only do we conquer, we get more spoil than we'd ever imagine. Because Satan doesn't have any spoil to give us anyway. It all burns up. We get a different spoil, right? More than conquerors. Through him who loved us. And this is probably one of my favorite verses, of my thousands of verses that are my favorite. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities nor powers, that's any demonic force, any angelic force of the evil side, could ever touch this. nor things present, nor things to come. You got some problems right now. You got some problems that are coming. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. 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 Emmanuel. If you know Jesus, God is with you. If you know Jesus, God is with you. You're not alone. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. Because God is with us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave. That's the best Christmas, the gift. His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves me. I believe in him. I have everlasting life. He loves me. So when a trial comes, what happens? In Romans 5:5, the love of God is poured out in my heart by the Holy Spirit. And I get an eternal perspective. And I actually, the love of God is poured out by the Holy Spirit. I see that fourth dimension of the love of God in Ephesians 3:18. I can see it. Like, you can't just see it. But when the Holy Spirit pours it out in your heart, you can see it. That's why Paul is praying that you would know the love that passes knowledge. He's with you. So this is one of my favorite of the thousands of stories in the Bible. The Israelites did evil, and the Midianites attacked them over and over. And they lived in fear, and they cried out to the Lord. This is Judges 6:11-22. Now the angel of the Lord, which is a Christophany, this is a Christ, came and was with them, came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midians. So he's thrashing wheat in the wine press in order to hide it. So he's a little scared, right? He's a little scared. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Now, the mighty man of valor part, that's for a whole other message. But the Lord is with you. He said, "The Lord is with you." And Gideon said to him, now, I hope none of us here have ever said this. I'm sure nobody has. If the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Anybody ever said that? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, "Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Now, we shouldn't be saying those things, right? Because we know what the word says. He will never leave us or forsake us. And the Lord is with us. So we shouldn't say, "If the Lord is with us." We should say, "Emmanuel. He is with us. I believe in Jesus." John 20:21. "But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So the Lord is with us. The Lord was with Midian, and then the Lord sent him. And it made me think of the Grace Commission in John 20:21. In every gospel, there's a Great Commission. John 20:21 says, "As the Father has sent me, I send you." So when Jesus came, he wasn't just along his way. He didn't just happen to come to earth as he was going to earth. No, he was sent. It wasn't the as you were going type of go. It was a specific go. And how, I was thinking, as he was sent, how was he sent? In love. He was sent, and how are we sent too? Like, in love, and he's with us. Was the Father with Christ? Yes. Christ is with us. And then not in fear. Not in fear. Even though he didn't want that cup, right? But he wasn't afraid. He didn't have the fear. And so he said to him, "Oh my Lord, how can I? Anybody ever said that? How can I do anything? I'm a wicked, rotten, dirty, filthy sinner. I don't have any natural talent. I don't have, you know, like we can come up, I stutter. You know, Moses said I stutter. Gideon said, my family's small. You know, I'm the least in the least of my family. Maybe, you know, how can I do anything? Well, how can we do something? How can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest of Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. That's how you can. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. His name is Emmanuel. We cry out to him, and our enemies are defeated. Which, by the way, are not flesh and blood. And why? Because Emmanuel, he's with us. And so that's pretty much the message. And it's early, so I got a nice little thing. It kind of goes along with it, but not really. But it's really good. It's something that the book we're reading Thursday night by an Indian pastor, Carl Silva. And it's about John 3:16. And it goes like this. The God who is with us, so it does relate to this message. The God who is with us is the greatest lover. God so loved to the greatest degree, the greatest love, the world, the greatest number that he gave, the greatest act, his only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whosoever, the greatest invitation, believes, the greatest simplicity in him, the greatest person, should not perish, the greatest deliverance, but the greatest difference, have the greatest certainty, everlasting life, the greatest possession. And while I was prepping this, I was listening to some music, and these two songs came on, and it really hit me. One of them was Kerry Coby, "I Am Not Alone." I can't sing it, but look it up sometime. I am not alone. Anyway, and the other one was Chris Thomas. You probably heard this. "Whom Shall I Fear? The God of Angel Armies is always on my side." Imagine that. Like, talk about a deliverer. He's the God of angel armies. There's 2/3 more angels than there are. There's 1/3 demons. 1/3 of the angels fell, right? So he's the God of the angel armies, and he's on our side. And his name's Emmanuel. He is with us. That's his very name, is with us. He's with us. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If there's anybody here that wants God with them, just cry out to him. He will give you Jesus, his very presence with you. He can be with you. Just accept Jesus as your Savior. Cry out to God. Tell him you know you're a sinner and you believe that he died on the cross for your sins. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for being with us. I pray that we'll remember your word. Remember not to be afraid. Remember not to think thoughts like, if you are with us, but to know you are with us, Lord. And we have your Holy Spirit. We have your presence. We don't always sense it, though, Lord. Just, we have to mix this word with faith, and we just trust you, Lord. We trust you in this life. We trust you for the present. We trust you for the future, whatever may come, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.